get to a place where you feel like the Holy Spirit is there and you are expecting God to do something, you don't just start preaching. You got to praise Him first. That's what you got to do, right? That's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. So, all right. Well, if you do have your Bibles, I'll spend just a few moments here. In Matthew chapter 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. I got a PowerPoint piece tonight, just a couple frames. I'm not sure if we can see that first one. You can't even see it, can you? Anyway. I'm going to go ahead and read out of Matthew chapter 7. I don't know if it helped if we turned off the chandelier light or not. But it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. And how narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. It's funny how people, we have been bombarded. The world has been bombarded ever since we can read these history books on what men want to worship, what they want to believe in. And what we see here is, I never can really tell if a good PowerPoint's going to work here at the church or not with the shading of it. But what is up there is many doors. And Satan doesn't care what door you go through in your beliefs as long as you don't go through the one door. And because all these doors, all but one, would lead to the same place. They have a different name on the door. Different things in there, but it still all leads to the same place of suffering. But there is one door that is different than all of them. It is different than all of them. It is a narrow door. You can't go there because the scripture says that the Holy Spirit will draw you. People will say, well, I'll come to Christ next year. I'll come to Christ when I'm done doing my thing. I'll come to Christ when I'm done in my 20s, I'll come to Christ in my 30s. You can't do that. You don't come to Christ until the Holy Spirit is prodding you, setting you ready where you can actually make, where the Holy Spirit is actually knocking on your door, per se. But He wants us to go down His narrow road and go through His door, through His gate. And you don't know it. You don't know it because we live in sin. But as believers, when we became a believer, we felt the Lord drawing us to Him. And there was a road, there was a door that we had to go through, and is receiving Him. It says, how narrow is the gate, but difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Doesn't mean it's impossible. It is impossible when you want to search it on your own and do it when you want. It's not going to work that way. But it's only through Christ. That's what makes it narrow. It's not by good works. It's not by good works. It's not by your pedigree. It's not by your last name. It's not that if you are a blue chip. It's not any of those things. It is only by one way. It is only by one road. It is only one door. It is all with the one name, Jesus. That's it. It is only one way. But we have a problem. We have a big problem in America. It's in other places, but we have a big problem in America. You see, we don't do a lot of worshiping of idols, even though there is still idol worship in America. There really is. There is more idol worship than we think there is. But people, not that we're not smarter than any other people, but we think that we're very educated. A lot of people are educated. So we come to other, and the people like to think that, we like to think we're smarter than we are. And I always tell you and I tell myself, we're never as smart as we think that we are. But with that, what happens is people come in. So if the gate is broad that leads to destruction and narrow is the gate that leads to life, then what is going on with all of this? Well, he goes into verse 15, and we see that I have his other slide in verse 15. He says, be on your guard against false prophets, you can call false preachers, or false church leaders, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. They are what we would call sheep. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. As you can see here, if you took a real quick look, you might thought, oh, that's a sheep. But it's actually a sheep body, but it has a wolf head. Which means that sometimes people come into churches with the idea of not with Jesus, but they'll mention Jesus. They'll say things, but not too much of it. It's all about other things. And people, men and women, will go out and they will preach. And they will preach a different gospel, which is not a gospel at all, but they will preach a different gospel. Read the book of Galatians. They'll read it. It's not a gospel at all, but they want it to say that it is a gospel. In America, it turns every focus back on you. How good you are. How amazing God wants you to be. How awesome it is when you can just give yourself to what you really want. God wants you to have a life and have it more abundantly. And they stretch that abundantly, meaning riches of the world and opportunities and just climbing ladders. Always climbing ladders. Always getting better. Always getting better. That kind, to me, would be looking like you're competing with your brothers and sisters in the church house. And when I see these things, it's very, very weak in the world and the word. What they have, they're about that's that deep spiritually. And the people in the pews are about that deep spiritually. They're not reading so much their Bible, they're just going out books on how to figure out how to get a better life, how to get a better me, how to get a better self. Because God wants you to have that stuff. God wants you to have this. God says he wants you to have that. And it all feels good and it's pumping you up. But the scripture says, be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravaging wolves. What they're doing is they want everything. They want your pocketbook. Why do you think these churches have big crowds? Because even in Scripture, Paul tells Timothy, these people, in the latter times, there'll come a time when people have itchy ears to hear what they want to hear. And that's what's happening today. And our hearts are broken by things that are happening in our family because we see this stuff actually coming out into play. And it's not helping when we have denominations that are turning and going against the morals and the biblical teachings of the Bible. Folks, those people don't know the same Jesus we know. You can't read the Bible and leave out Romans chapter 1. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Those are just because somebody has a white collar or somebody wears a suit and has a church of 500 or 5,000 doesn't make them a good preacher. I'm always cautious of people with a lot of charisma. Not that it can't be a gift, but I watch it. And here's what I notice when I see people speaking like that. First of all, they always talk away. You don't see what's on the podium, and they never seem to go back, and they never hear a piece of Scripture. And if they do, they take a Scripture, and they don't even talk about the context of the Scripture, what the passage is about. They go and they say, oh, Jesus says he wants you to have life more abundantly. Huh. And not talking about the whole part of it. But people will gravitate to that. Jesus is saying there will be people that will come in and they'll look like sheep. They'll smell like sheep. They may talk like sheep, but they're wolves. And it says this in verse 16. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I want you to look at it. I got a picture here. And that's a picture of an apple orchard. And it looks amazing, doesn't it? It looks amazing. It looks amazing. I mean, the apples look great. What's the next picture? But when you get close and you check it out, you find out that it's rotten. This is what happens when we listen to a lot of preachers who are not preaching the gospel, but everything looks good. Their building looks great. their videos and everything looks great. They may have a 20-piece band and they may sound great. And they may have a nice sanctuary with very nice pleated seating. And everybody looks good. And then it comes out and begins to say, your life is going to be amazing. God wants you to have the best life you could ever have on the face of this earth. And I'm telling you, if you're not getting it, I'm telling you, you're not doing something right with God. And they'll keep doing that, and they'll try to get the crowd up, and they'll try to get them, because the louder the crowd gets, they think the more the crowd will give. And sometimes they do it in singing groups. They'll come out and tell a story. And I understand they'll tell the same story when they get on a tour and the next tour. I get it, because those people haven't heard it. But then when they don't get a testimony, they make up a testimony. Well, how do you know the difference? Well, you lean on the people in the church that's got the spiritual gift of discernment. And you listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's like my father said, there was a group that he really liked, and he said, something's off. And he went back to their bus, looked at it, went in the back, and here they are drinking Jack Daniels after a Southern Gospel concert. But it says you'll recognize them by their fruit. You'll recognize them by their fruit. It says in verse 17, in the same way, every good tree produces good fruit. But a bad tree produces bad fruit. In verse 18, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. You know why? Because when you have the Holy Spirit, yeah, you are going to sin from time to time. You're going to fall down. You're going to mess up. And you're going to screw up sometimes. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit convicts those who are His. And you will feel guilty when you do bad things. You will feel miserable when you do bad things. A lot of people think they're saved. I'm not saying saved people don't do mess up in things, but a saved person will feel miserable when they do something they know that is wrong. They cannot live with it because the Lord just continues to tweak and tweak and turn that and keep poking that same spot until that person deals with it. But also says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. So a bad tree can't produce good fruit. They might try to in the front end. And it might look good like we saw, but you get back there and you start getting closer to the tree. You start getting closer to their fruits. You're going to see that it isn't as good. It isn't that good. Folks, let me tell you, I've met some pastors. And I've met some bad pastors. Right here in this town. I met a couple, an evil pastor. Sinful pastor. Bad pastor. I'll call it out. Great in front of a crowd. Got the charisma. Get on the piano. Rip it. People love to hear him sing. People like to hear him preach. But what his life was going on and what he was doing in the pulpit were two completely different things. Folks, I tell you, you look in the history of this community and you'll see a lot of pastors. Did a lot of bad things. You got to be cautious. You need to be checking, not just listening to me preach. You need to get your Bible and make sure I'm preaching Bible. Don't just trust me and think you ought to be able to trust me. You ought to be able to trust your pastor, but you ought to be checking. Something don't sound right, you need to check it out. Just because there's a cross on a roof doesn't mean it's godly, especially today. Especially today. And every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. What? Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit. And so what he's saying, to produce good fruit, you have to be a good tree, which means saved. That's what it means. You have to be of Christ. And to produce good fruit, you have to be a good tree. You can't do anything good without Christ. You have to have Christ. It says those false sheep, those wolves who are in sheep's clothing, that says you'll recognize them by their fruit. Once again, he keeps saying that. You'll recognize them by their fruit. You'll recognize them by their fruit. What he's saying is they're coming. They're going to be there in the midst. Had some here in New Life before. Lord, and I want to, just like in the very beginning of our part, I said, Lord, I don't know. This guy is really making me flustered. I just started preaching, Lord. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't get this guy, but he can come in. He's getting me all twisted up. Something's not right. But this is what I know, Lord. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but I don't have a good feeling in my spirit. Lord, I'm just asking you right now, if he ain't of you, take him away. Because I can barely tie my own shoes and get up there and preach amongst 40, 50 people. I need all the help I can, Lord. And that guy was gone. He didn't come back. His wife didn't come back. And then the pastor called me and said, you know this couple? They're causing me problems. Wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll know them by their fruit. I grew up not watching these. I'm not impressed by new cartoons at all. I'm still impressed by Bugs Bunny. I like that. But I remember that herd of sheep. And I remember that dog, that sheepdog would go in there and click his time clock. And he'd go up there and he'd sit up there. And his job was to watch them sheep. He'd just sit there and watch them sheep. Well, here comes that wolf or that coyote. Here he comes. He comes in there and he clicks in. And he's like, okay, I'm on the job now. And you'll see him one time. He'll come over there and he'll dress up like a sheep. And he'll move a little bit. He looks like one. He moves a little bit. You know what? The sheep doesn't even notice because he looks like them. Smells like them. But that sheepdog up there going. And you can see his little eyebrow go, huh. Just go up just enough. He goes, he caught it. And then next thing you know, he grabs onto that sheep's leg. And next thing, it wasn't a sheep's leg. He grabbed on that dog's leg. And then that dog tears him all up. But you know what? The sheep are safe. And they just move a little bit over here. And they chow on their food. And they do it. And you know what that wolf does? He runs off. But he don't run off too far. Now he's over here over by the woods. And he tries to dress himself up like a bush. And he moves a little bit closer. And, you know, bushes don't move. And here's that dog just raises it up again. And he, next thing you know, he's down there. He's tearing that wolf up. Then what would happen if that sheepdog wasn't doing his job? There'd be a lot of dead sheep. Scattered sheep. The ones that didn't get. And they would be all scattered. We need to make sure that we're like sheepdogs. We're like sheepdogs. That we know the difference. We know the difference. And Jesus says they're coming. And they're amongst you already. He says you'll recognize them. And you'll recognize them by their fruit. We all have put a mask on coming to church before, whether it was a family argument or the kids just wasn't acting up right, or you just didn't want to get up that day, or you just struggling or whatever. And we come in and we go, whoo, and we put that smile on our face. How you doing today? Doing great. How you doing? I'm great. I'll say this. Don't think Ashley has a perfect moment every time. She smiles. I'm so thankful for her smile, but I know it's not there for like every service, right? Same thing when you're greeting, good morning, you know, good morning. We do that. But I also want to say with that, sometimes if you know someone, you know that they're not having the best day. Sometimes you know that. And you know they're just not having a good day. I've had issues with an individual here recently. Not here at this church, but recently. And I checked out the fruit, and the fruit was not good. But boy, when a person could talk, boy, everybody in that room was like, ooh, he's got something to say. This guy's got something to say. This guy said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, you need to research who you're listening to. And then I got caught. Then I got people come back and say, oh, my goodness. I said, yeah. Be careful. You'll know them by their fruit. But Jesus comes to this place. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Let me tell you, folks, they did it in his name, but they just did it and they didn't know him. They knew his name, but they didn't have him. And Jesus says, or they said, and do many miracles in your name, and then I will announce, Jesus is saying this in red, he says, I, Jesus, will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers, or you evildoers. Depart from me. Now there will not be one wolf in sheep's clothing in heaven. Nobody can con the Lord. He sees it all as it is. But Jesus says, even if they get through on us, he even says, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. And they say, well, we did all these things. But they did them for themselves. They didn't do it for the Lord. They didn't do it for the Lord. They did it for themselves. They did it for themselves. Tonight when we were praying, we didn't do that for ourselves. We did it for others. And if you came down to pray something for yourself, that's okay. We need to do that. But you came down, laid hands on people, you did that for them and the Lord, not yourself. I want to conclude with this tonight. Be careful who you listen to. We just lost a great preacher in the nation, Charles Stanley. And it just seems like every time we lose a big one, there's nobody to step up and replace. We lost Billy Graham a few years ago. We lost Charles Stanley. We lost Adrian Rogers before that. It's just, we just keep losing them, but we're not getting anybody to fill. I always say this, where are our national spiritual leaders? They're slowly, or quickly, they're fading. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give an opportunity. If you want to come and pray, you missed out on your prayer piece.